Psalms 84. Psalms 84. I don't know why, but the Lord just last couple of sermons or last couple of Sundays we've been in Psalms, and so I just try to be obedient to Him. And this is a little different Psalms this morning. Psalms 84. Are you glad you're in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad I'm saved on my way to heaven. How Psalms 84, verse number 1, a lot of times we take the different psalms and put them together here, but we're just going to deal with this one. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh, crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the sparrow a nest for herself, where she shall lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thine house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. Who passes through the valley of Baca, making it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, even one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is the sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good things will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusteth in thee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do ask you, Father, to anoint us and fill us this morning. We need you. We need a touch from you. God, we thank you for all your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Now speak to our hearts this morning. Oh, Father, in a great way. I pray for that one that's lost in the midst this morning. I pray you'll touch their heart. Thank you for all the members, all the faithful friends of the church. Thank you for those who are visiting today. May you touch each heart and each life. In Jesus' name, we'll give you all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. There was a lady by the name, 1943, a lady by the name of Ray B. Miller. And she wrote this great song called, I'd Rather Have Jesus. I really believe that's what the psalmist is trying to tell us here. He said, I'd just rather have Jesus. If I would, I'm kind of just going to read it twice, but I want to look at it just a little bit as I read down. A lot of times I read and preach when I do it, just starting out, but I felt like I just wanted to read the psalm and then go back over it. How amiable. That word amiable by the Webster 1828 dictionary simply means this. It means something that's lovely or something that's worth loving. Usually it's ascribed to a person. But here we see that the psalmist here, now we really don't know who wrote this psalm. I'm just going to use psalmist David or the writer. And we see here that David or the writer of this psalm, he's saying this about the tabernacle of the Lord. He's talking about the sanctuary. This morning you've met in a place called the sanctuary. Now we call this the church house. The old timers called it the meeting place. You say, why did they call it that? Because it was a place they went to meet with God. You realize this, the church is made up of born-again, blood-washed believers. That's made up of people.
Yeah.
Now, this building does not represent, as far as the church of the living God, but it represents a place where it's been set aside, sanctified for the master's use. It's been a place where set aside that you and I, as children of God, can come and hear the word of God, sing the songs of Zion, and worship the Lord publicly. Amen. It seems like the writer of this Psalms, would have said David, it seems like that he has been absent from being able to go to worship. I don't know about you, but have you ever had a time where you've been sick and you couldn't come to the house of God and you just had the desire to get back next Sunday? I've not been sick much in my life, but there have been a few times I've not been able to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday, and I just couldn't wait to get back on Wednesday night. When I'm in church on Sunday, I get back on Wednesday night. Amen. But I'm just saying, he had a great desire to be at the house of the Lord, to be at the sanctuary, to be at the place of worship, to publicly worship God. And here as he speaks, he says this, how amiable, how lovely, how wonderful my desires, my affections are applied to the tabernacles of the Lord of hosts. He said, I have a love for the things of God. He said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. He was wanting to be in the presence of God. He was wanting to be in the place where God, people came to worship him. Hey, there ought to be a desire in a child of God's heart to be in the house of God. Amen. You help me. If you amen more, I preach faster and we get done quicker. Amen. But I'm trying to say there is a desire for the children of God to come together to worship. Thank God God has a place, a meeting place that's been set aside that we come. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together. Amen. And that's the word of God. That's not Timology. That's not Baptist. That is the word of God. The men and women of God should come together to worship. He inhabits the praise, the Bible says, of Israel. And that what he's saying is, I inhabit the praise of my people. That was in the Old Testament. Now he has a sanctuary. The local assembly is called out that we read in the book of Acts. Those churches that was established that we read in the book of Revelation. And that's where he wants to gather with his people. Now you say, preacher, I can worship God out in the mountains. And guess what? You can.
Yeah.
You say, I can worship God in this place or that place. Or I can worship God in my car traveling. You can.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you can.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, you cannot be biblical without you coming to the house of God. The Bible says for us to gather together on the first day of the week. Bring his store, bring that which God has prospered, and bring it into the storehouse.
Right.
The Bible says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together.
Yeah.
That's talking about more than one people, one person. Hey,
yeah.
What you and I are doing this morning in the house of God is biblical.
Yeah.
It's what God's designed. God set aside, and God allowed many years ago, God's allowed somebody to get a burden, to be a church on top of this hill that would sound out a gospel, that would be a light, that would be a testimony that men and women, boys and girls can hear, come and hear that Jesus saves. Oh, wasn't it wonderful last week to see those six people walk down the aisle and get birthed in the family of God? Hey, that's why the church is here. See, people get birthed in the family of God. We're here to tell the story how Jesus Christ came from glory and how Jesus gave his life on an old rugged cross that men and women, boys and girls can be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Are you glad you're saved? Amen. I'm glad as a little 7-year-old boy I got birthed into the family of God. My sins was washed away. Don't get excited now. My name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. I was sealed until the day of redemption. I was birthed into the family of God. I was washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was called sons of God. Many believe him. Them gave him power to become the sons of God. Amen. Don't get excited now. All God did was took you out of hell because you was already condemned already.
Yeah.
Picked you up, cleansed you through his blood, made you a fit subject for heaven, and one day you can get it. One day you already have eternal life because it's within us. Christ is living in us through the power of the Holy, through the person of the Holy Spirit. But we're going to live forever in heaven, forever and ever. That's all he's done for you.
Amen.
Amen. But you know where you hear about that story? In the church house.
Yeah.
In the sanctuary. There was something about getting back. He said, my flesh crieth out for the living God. He had a desire. Now what he's saying here, when he said this, how amiable are the tabernacle. Now usually this word is used towards people or towards a person. But this one is towards a place. What he's saying is, how much I love God is seen. But how much I love his house.
Hey.
Don't you agree he is speaking of his love for God in this text?
Yeah.
But he says in his love for God, I need to be in the place that he's designed. Now, I'd love to just throw down and preach on the church right now. Amen. Amen. For you folks who don't understand what throw down, that means just have a time and preach. But God did not give me liberty to do that. I'm going to verse number 10. And I believe this is what the psalmist wanted us to know. He says, I have David's preference. We see here the writer's preference in verse number 10. He says, for a day in the courts is better than 1,000. Now listen. In our day and time, we've lost the love for the church house.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
We've lost the love for the church house. But so what we don't realize, when the love for the church house is lost, the love for the Lord is lost. Because if I read my Bible right, Jesus Christ died for the church. Now, I know it wasn't this building, but it's this building is where God said, I want my people to assemble.
Yeah. Hey.
And the love that we have for the assembling together will magnify and will manifest the love that we have for the Lord. It's like this. If your love, the Bible uses in Ephesians chapter 5, he uses the husband and wife relationship as being a picture of Christ and his church. Christ is the head, and you and I are the body. Amen. And so he uses an illustration there about Christ, about being the husband, and the church being the wife. And can I say it like this? If me and Deborah are apart, there's a lot of things, and you know this is true now, I'm not trying, when a husband and wife apart, there are dangers for a husband and wife being apart too long.
Yeah.
Y'all just be honest now.
You're right. Yeah.
There's dangers. And can I say there's dangers when you and I are children of God and we're not coming in and worshiping God together, public worship. Public worship.
Then
there's dangers that comes. The psalmist, he had a preference. He had a preference of a place. He said, one day in the Lord's house, one day with him is better than 1,000 out there. Now, so I have a love for fishing. I love to fish. And I can put it this way, one day fishing is better than a bunch of days working. A bad day fishing is better than a good day working. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Why? Because I have a love for that. Well, guess what? We ought to have a love for the house of God.
Amen.
The love for our Lord should be manifested in how we love to be with him. He has a place. There was a place that he desired to be. He said even his flesh cried out to be there. He has such a desire to be there. He has such a desire to be a part of it. Look at verse number 10. For the day in thy court is better than 1,000. What a statement. You and I aren't going to live 1,000 days. So really what I'm saying is a day with the Lord is better than life itself. If you could, it's better than my whole life, just being with him. Well, that court was a place of what? It was a place of service. So I could say the psalmist, his preference is, he said, I want to be with the Lord. I want to be in his presence. I want to be serving him. It's a place of service. Not only that, that court was a place of submission. It's a place of worship.
Yeah.
It's a place where they come to worship God.
Yeah.
What he's saying is, I'd rather be in a place where I can serve God, a place where I can submit and worship God. That's what I want to be in. He also says it's a place of sanctification. It's a place where they would have that sacrifice. It's a place where people would set themselves aside. It was a place where they come to be in the presence of God. So we forgot this morning, though, the Lord's here.
Yeah.
We're two or three together. He said, I'll be in the midst. I don't know if you felt it, but when the singing of the songs of Zion, I felt the Lord move through a little bit. I mean, it stirred my heart, son. And we should want to come because it's a place that we come to worship him. He had a preferred place and he had a preferred position. He said, you know, I'd as soon be a doorkeeper. What does the doorkeeper do? He just opens the door and lets people in. Amen.
Yeah.
He said, I just need to be there to get, and watch people come in. He said, I don't have to be seen. I don't have to be recognized. He said, I just want to be a part.
Right.
Man, we need some people. Aaron and I, of course, you know Aaron's took a church. And really, he pastored over in Chadsworth when he started that church. And he's been ministering down in Florida. And he got some ministry under his belt. But this is really the first time he's went to pastor church. You know, they called him. It's an established church. It's established. I mean, got years under its belt. You know, it's got people there. And we were talking about things. You'll realize, and I told him this. I said, son, you'll realize every church has certain kind of people. Ugly people and pretty people. No, I'm just joking. They have certain kind of people. I'm just joking about that. There'll be those that'll be Marthas. There'll be workers. There's those that'll be Marys. There'll be worshipers. Now, there should be a balance in both of those. Amen.
Yeah.
There'll be people who'll just come on Sunday morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
There'll be people that will just tithe. That's all their involvement they want to be. They're givers. Amen. There'll be people that want recognition. There'll be people that want no recognition. There'll be people that want you to be involved in everything in their life. They want you to be a part of it. And there'll be some that it will offend them if you even come see them in the hospital. They're all types of people. There'll be quiet people. And no matter what church you have, no matter what culture you're in, you're going to have those people. Well, I want you to know, what kind of person do you want to be in the church? What would you want to be known for? I'll tell you why this came up. And while Raven's not here, but Caleb's granddad is the reason it came up. How many of y'all remember Brother Harold Dodd?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Evidently, Aaron's already picked out somebody in his church that reminds him of Brother Harold Dodd. I said, well, Mother, Lord bless you, son. That's all I got to say. No, I'm just joking. But Brother Harold, I mean, this is you, everybody. Friend, he didn't ever meet a stranger. He was a greeter here at the church. And I mean, just, you know, I just a wonderful man. And you got people like that. You got people that has that kind of personality, that have that outgoing, just like that. And that's what got that started about how we are. I was wondering, and we know Brother Harold because of that personality. And of course, he loved to fish, he loved to golf, he loved to go, do things. But we know him. I just wonder, what is our preference? If we're talking about Brother Harold, he's passed away, and some of you don't even know him. But what are we going to be known for? What are we going to be known for? You're going to be known for something.
Sure.
And this psalmist said, he said, I prefer the house of the Lord. I prefer just to be a doorkeeper. I prefer just to be in his house.
Hey.
Then he preferred his portion. He said, my God. He said, I'd just soon be a housekeeper, a doorkeeper in the house of my God. That's the preference of the psalm. Then let me hasten on. Then we see in verse number 11 his provisions. The psalmist's provision. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. And I got to thinking about that. The Lord will give grace and glory. I got to think about those thoughts. He's a sun. Now, what does that really mean? What does it mean by him being a sun? Well, on these hot days, you know the sun is what? Present.
Yeah.
When the sun's a shining, of course I know it always shines, but when you and I can see the sun shining, it's shining through the clouds, shining, and you know its presence is there. Is it not true in our life that sometimes God is just like the sun? He's always there, whether it be behind the storms of the clouds, We can't see him. Or whether everything's clear and we seem to be in the very presence of God, he's always there. We also see the sun as it, we see the shield. The shield is a protection. So I thought about the sun as being that one, that their presence and how it represents his presence, and that shield represents his protection. Grace and glory represents his promise. He gives us grace while we travel here. And he'll give us glory when we go to the other side. As the sun, you know what the sun, you know what light does? Light manifests things.
Yeah.
If you're going to clean your house, ladies, you don't turn all the lights off. Well, some of y'all might. But, you know, you want the lights on. Why? Because you want to see what? The dark. You know what the sun does? The sun and the presence of God, you know what it do? It'll reveal the dirt that's in the light. It'll reveal the sin that's in our life.
Amen.
So as a son, he shows me more of my sinfulness. But then as a shield, you know what he does? He gives me the power to overcome. He protects me from sin. Amen?
Amen.
He gives me the grace. He gives me the ability to overcome sin. As a son, he shows me the guilt that's to sin. He shows me the purpose that sin, things that sin will bring in my life, the pain, the agony, the different thing. But as a shield, he shows me that all that guilt, all that sin, all that pain can be laid upon him. He paid it all at Calvary. As a son, he shows me the impossibility of me being able to work my own salvation. He shows how imperfect I am. But as a shield, he shows me that it's all been done through Jesus. Jesus paid it all at Calvary.
Amen.
He's a shield. He's a son. As a son, he shows me myself. As a son, he shows me my righteousness is filthy rags, is insufficient. But as a shield, he shows me that in Christ, I can have all things. In Christ, I can be forgiven. Excuse me. As a son, he shows me how awful, how terrible life can be without him. But as a shield, he shows me how wonderful and pleasant it is to dwell in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
So we see that shield and sun. Now I want to get to this last one very quickly. Look at verse number 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Trust is in him. You'll find in your Bible the word trust in the Old Testament is the same as the word faith in the New Testament. Not the same word, but meaning the same thing. The Bible's wanting us to trust in him. Amen. In the New Testament, we talk about putting faith in him. They're the same thing, trusting and putting faith. When we come to faith, faith is described in the New Testament as faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I can't see God, but I have faith that there is a God.
Yeah.
I can't see air, but I'm told that there's air, and I'm breathing it. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe that because I've been taught that. This Bible teaches us faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that word teaches me faith.
Yeah.
This morning, I wonder if you have faith. Now, we got to go see the Ark encounter. And so in that great chapter of faith chapter, he explains faith, and then he gives us examples of faith. And he begins with Abel, and he goes to Enoch, and then he goes to Noah. By faith. Noah being warned of God. That warning. You know what Noah did with that warning? He heeded that warning.
Right.
He heeded the message. If you go to the ark encounter, this will happen several times. Why are you building this ark? Why is this ark being? And this is what Noah replies. God told me. God told me.
Right.
What he was doing was fulfilling what? God's word. This Bible is God's word. It tells us, it teaches us, it tells us Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It says, for by grace you're saved through faith. If we're going to get saved, it's going to be through faith, not through ourselves. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. We believe that by faith. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We exercise faith. We call upon him. So he said that one is blessed that trusts in the Lord. This morning I've got a question for you. Where's your faith? This great Psalms ends with this: blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. You know, it would be awful to be a part of the sanctuary, to be part of the saint that day, the tabernacle, be a part and be involved in the things of it. But when you come down to the very last verse, it'd be awful to not be a part of trusting in the Lord. Because, see, you can be a part of some church, you can be a part of religious organizations, you can be a part of a lot of things and still be lost. One of the saddest things is going to be is in Matthew chapter number 7 when people stand before God and he says, I never knew you. And they said, didn't we cast out devil in thy name? Didn't we do many mighty works in thy name? We was religious, but we was lost. See, faith makes a change in us. Faith puts a desire in us. Faith does something. The Bible tells us if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. What happens is God puts his divine nature within us. When we get saved, then we have a divine nature. That desire, we have a desire to do things that worldly people, earthly people, don't have a desire to be. We become heavenly people. Before you were saved, you weren't looking towards heaven. You was living for the things of this world. So here the writer says, blessed is the man that trusteth in God, in thee, in God. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And so I'm going to do across it very quickly of faith. Faith is simply this, forsaking everything else. Forsaking that I'm a good person. Forsaken that I go to church, live righteous. Forsaken that I pay my tithes. Forsaken that I go to a Sunday school class. Forsaken that my mom and daddy was good Christians. Forsaken everything. See, if you're trusting, but let me say this right now. I'm really slowing down preaching. If you're trusting in Christ and anything else to get you to heaven, you're not going. Amen. Anytime you add anything to Christ, so you say, preacher, you mean I've got to single out and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in his work that he did on Calvary, and that's all. It has nothing to do with me. You got it. You figured it out. But don't I have to have a part in it? No. You said, it's not in certain words. It's not in a certain prayer. But God knows when you turn your heart towards him. Amen. I believe you will pray. You'll have to confess your sinner, ask God to save you. But it ain't in a certain amount of words. You know what I find when people doubt in their salvation? This is what they doubt. I don't know if I said it right. I don't know if I said what I was supposed to say. It's not in what you're saying. Why did you come down to the altar in the first place? Well, I realized I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. Guess what? That's what you need to do. You was coming to the Lord. I believe you do have to confess. You understand what I'm saying now? God knows the intent of the heart. Forsaken. A, forsaken all. I in faith. T, trust. H, him. It's forsaken all. I trust him. That's what faith is. You've got to forsake it all. You got to forsake what other people have said and believe this word right here. This morning, I just wonder. This morning, I'm wondering. Would you rather have Jesus? Would you rather have Him than anything else in the world? This psalmist said, that's what the psalmist is saying. Because see, to have Him, forsaking all others, I trust Him. Forsaking everything else, I put my faith and my trust in Him. I'd rather have Jesus. Would you rather have Jesus this morning? Are you trusting Him and Him only to get you to heaven? That's the only way you're going to get to heaven. His grace for our guilt. It's going to be Him forgiving you. His power to be able to cleanse us from all sins. His faithfulness in the midst of our unfaithfulness. Blessed be the God and the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercy, have begotten us into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. You're not keeping yourself, sir, ma'am. You're not keeping yourself. He's keeping us. For by grace ye save through faith, that not yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. The work that He does in us should create a work in us. His sufficiency. His sufficiency for our insufficiency. His supply for our need. What I'm trying to say this morning is, Christ is all I need. The psalmist said, I'd rather have Jesus than anything I know. I'd rather have Him. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. I'm wondering, what are you trusting to get to heaven? What are you trusting? Get yourself. When you stand before the Lord, if we ask you this question, why do you think you're fit, subject to enter into heaven? Brother Ray, you know what I'd say? Because I totally submit and trust in the sacrificial death of Calvary, of your Jesus, your body, your life, and your blood has cleansed me from all sins. I trust in you, Jesus, and nothing else. Can you say that this morning? We're standing our heads bowed.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for giving us the opportunity to be in Your house. Lord, I pray You'd help each one of us to have that longing, that desire to be here. Lord, for those who are unable to make it, Lord, who want to be here, God, I pray You'd give them strength. Lord, for those who choose not to return, choose not to come back to Your place, Lord, may You work in their hearts. May You give each one of us a stronger desire to live for You every day of our lives. In Jesus' name.